From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing to study the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns is preaching on the subject of Christ, the Friend of Sinners, a message in two parts with its text from Luke chapters 13, 14, and 15. The writer of Proverbs said, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." In dealing with sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ acts as a true friend, showing genuine love by warning them of potential dangers in their lives. Of these seven warnings in the text, the first is a caution to be sure of salvation. First, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns responds to the charges of some that Let the Bible Speak preaches hate.
Yesterday I dealt with a protest from a Roman Catholic listener who objected to my frequently exposing and opposing the Church of Rome. Another correspondent had much the same concern. He left a brief message on our webpage to ask, when there's so much hope in the Gospels, why do I preach hate? Now, I must confess that this sort of mindset really concerns me. To many people, there's no place in the Gospel ministry to expose and condemn even the most egregious departures from the truth as it is in Jesus. To condemn anything as unbiblical or anti-Christian is, in their eyes, to preach hate. Now, let me ask a question or two. Did the Lord Jesus Christ preach hate when he excoriated the Pharisees? He called them hypocrites and asked them, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Was that hateful? Or was it a ministry of truth by which he warned souls who were in danger of being subverted by those false teachers? Did John the Baptist preach hate when he addressed the religious leaders as a generation of vipers? Did the Apostle Paul preach hate when he confronted Bar Jesus or Elymas, the false prophet who had a hold over the Roman deputy, Sergius Paulus, addressing him thus, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness"? According to our politically correct age, all these would be examples of preaching hate. But that's ludicrous. In every case, the exposing and opposing of false doctrine and those who promote it, or evil men who would corrupt the morals of God's people, is an essential part of a faithful ministry. Christian love must commence with a love for God and His truth. Only then may it be genuinely exercised toward our fellow man. It would be hateful and despicable to be censuring and condemning on a narrow denominational basis, saying in effect that if you don't agree with me and all my points of view, you must be condemned. But to say, "I love God and His Son supremely. I love the gospel He has revealed in Christ. I love the souls of men. I love the church of God, which Christ has purchased with His own blood. Therefore, I am bound to expose and oppose every perversion of the gospel and every religious movement that is an insult to God and that is blinding and destructive to the souls of men." To say this is not narrow-mindedness, but Christ-mindedness. The apostles actually named men whom they opposed. For example, Paul, John, and they were right. You can't allow false prophets and false teachers to roam unhindered in the church. So again, I make it clear that I cannot just sit back and say nothing as Rome continues her assault on God's truth and her deception of the souls of men. So, if I have been critical of Rome, it's because fidelity to the gospel demanded it. Now, if that offends you, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry that I've stood for God's truth, but I'm sorry for you, that you seem to be more concerned about offending the Pope and his friends than Jesus Christ and his faithful people. As Martin Luther said, "Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God."
Jesus
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio. ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
It is a friend who warns when he sees one rushing, blind to his danger, to a terrible destruction. Nothing shows the Lord Jesus Christ's deep concern for precious souls as with the shadow of the cross lying across his pathway, he utters his warnings in the ears of sinners. These indeed are dark sayings, but remember, they are dark sayings from a tender heart. I want us therefore today to look first at the warnings that Christ gave. You'll find, if you study carefully in Luke 13 and Luke 14, that he issues seven types of warnings. The first in chapter 13, commencing at verse 24 and running through to verse 30, is a warning against presumption. Here the Lord Jesus is warning people to make sure they are genuinely saved, that they're genuinely in the kingdom. Because there's a day coming when those who appear to be saved but are not will be kept out. And he gives an insight into the thought patterns of these people when in verse 26 he says, "Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." Now, I don't want to take too much time, for time is not on my side, trying to set this in its historical context and deal with the particular mindset of the Jews with which the Lord Jesus is dealing throughout this passage of Scripture. That is an important thing to realize. But I want us today to bring it out of the historical and make the application to today. Because you'll find, the more you look at it, that the differences between then and now are really only surface differences. The Lord Jesus is saying there are people who are content to say, "We have eaten and drunk in my presence. We have listened to your word. We have sat under the ministry of the gospel.
We have made some response to it. There has been something there because we have sat down to eat and drink in your presence. Therefore, we presume that everything is all right. That's the very first class of people to whom the Lord Jesus Christ issues the warning of a friend. And well may he start there, because if Matthew 7 is to be taken very seriously, and I trust that it will always be taken seriously, because this is something that every single one of us has to live with and die with and go to meet God with, that there are many, many, many that will say to me in that day, and he gives their speech, the speech of people who expect to be welcomed into heaven, and they're excluded from heaven, and they're sent to the outer darkness of a lost eternity. If we are to take that seriously, then the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ against presumption is one that should reverberate in all our hearts. People who presume that they're all right when they're all wrong. People who, to use the language of Jeremiah, for example, in chapter 8, people who have the hurt of their soul healed slightly. In other words, there's something radically wrong. There is something akin to a cancer of the soul. And it's bringing them to a swift and awful and eternal death. And yet, they are satisfied with temporary palliatives. They're satisfied with a band-aid when they need a new heart. They're satisfied with a slight attention to religion when what they need is regeneration and redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is presumption. And the Lord Jesus warns seriously against it, because he says, verse 27, I tell you, he shall say, I know you not. Now, he'll never say that of a blood-washed soul. He'll never say that of a justified believer. He'll never say that of a penitent sinner who has come to Christ. This is not a warning intended to upset the faith of humble believers in Christ. It is intended to stir the hearts of people who sit in their sin and cover it with a cloak of religion. A warning against presumption. From verse 31 through 35, there's a warning of divine punishment. There's an interesting passage here. The Pharisees, in a show of concern for Christ — of course they had no concern for him, they were simply trying, if I may use a modern jargon, to spook him. They were trying to cause fear. They were trying to see if they could get him to do something in a hurry, something hasty, something that they could hold against him. Of course, that was a lost cause. They were not going to be able to do that. But that was their intention. And they came saying, you better run. You remember the people in Nehemiah's day, the enemies of the Jews, Sanballat, Tobiah, and the rest of them, they tried to do that to Nehemiah. You're in danger. You better go and hole out somewhere. You're in danger. Nehemiah said, should such a man as I hide? No way. I'm not going to run for some rabbit warren somewhere to run from a bunch of nobodies. Well, they see him, nobodies came trying this on the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, Herod will kill thee. They obviously hadn't taken seriously what Jesus said. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. I have that power. They didn't listen, so they said, Herod's going to kill you. It's a very interesting answer. Go and tell that fox. And that's what Christ thought of the mighty King Herod. Go and tell that fox. I have a message for him. It's very interesting that he sent a message to Herod. When he met Herod, he wouldn't speak to him. I can't go into all the ins and outs of the whys and wherefores at the minute. But that's a very interesting thing. And I want to tell you, it's a very serious thing. There was a time when God did speak to Herod. You remember he used John the Baptist, and God did speak to him. There was a time that he spoke so powerfully to Herod that Herod began to clean up parts of his life. There was a time when God's speaking voice was so dynamic in the conscience of Herod that he did many things, and he even sought to provide some level of protection for John the Baptist against those who would seek to slay him. But Herod deafened his ear. Herod had no time to listen when God was speaking. And when finally the time came for him to meet with Jesus, he said, I'm looking forward to this. I want to see him do some great thing. And the Lord Jesus wouldn't answer him a single word. Beware. One of the most serious things that can ever happen to a man or to a woman or to a boy or to a girl is to sit under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ and have God speak to your conscience and your heart. One of the most serious things can ever happen to a person is to be brought under conviction of sin, to be pointed to Christ, and to be moved in spirit to repent and believe the gospel. That is one of the most serious things that can happen. Because God does not speak forever. Herod found that out. This is the last message Christ ever sent to Herod. And it was not a message of repentance. It was not a message of opportunity. It was not a message of invitation. It was not a message of salvation at all. It was a message to a fox who had foxed himself slyly all the way to the gates of hell. Go and tell that fox. No matter what you want to do to me, I will cast out devils today and tomorrow. I will continue to do cures. In other words, go and tell Herod, I'm working to my timetable, not his. I'm working to my agenda, not his. I'm doing my work and God's will, no matter what he thinks, says, does, purposes. He can do nothing. What a beautiful illustration of the sovereign Christ. He can do absolutely nothing to upset either the agenda, the ministry, the timetable that I have had set for me from all eternity. Go and tell him, I'll come to Jerusalem. For no prophet can perish outside of Jerusalem. And he warned of punishment. That goes on through indeed to the end of the chapter as he goes on to speak to Jerusalem. Though we'll deal with that in a slightly different way later on. But even to Jerusalem, he's talking to them from a different point of view. I'm coming in to Jerusalem, not just as a judgment upon Herod, but as a judgment upon the Jews. Not just as a judgment upon that man that you would all agree is a dirty, great, vile, vicious sinner, and he deserves punishment, but even on the Jews, with all their religion, rejecting Christ. There's a warning of punishment. You know, it's an amazing thing when you read your Bible. The Bible has a doctrine of hell. It is a doctrine of everlasting punishment. Now that doctrine may be established throughout the Old Testament, and it may be established throughout the New Testament. But the amazing thing is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ preached more about hell than all the other preachers of the Bible put together. Now you stop and think of that. This is the one who is the Son of God, the love gift of the Father to the world. This is the one who is love incarnate. And yet he spoke about judgment, about hell fire, about Gehenna, about everlasting punishment. He spoke of that more than not only anybody else, but more than all of them put together. Why? Remember again, these are the wounds of a friend. He's warning, be in time.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.